Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Good evening and welcome to First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky, for this Friday night virtual Vespers. And we are in for a treat tonight, a song that is so dense and so rich in its lyrical content and the great theological truth of which it speaks. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. As we prepare our hearts for this message, would you pray with me? Oh, Father, we're so thankful for the great truth that is on display in this song. And we pray that as we sing it together, Lord, that you would stir our hearts of the great love that you have for your people who are called your church. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Song, don't you? I want to tell you that one of the fundamental misunderstandings that I personally had of the church throughout my young life, and maybe you've had this one too, is actually typified in a little nursery rhyme that people taught me when I was a kid that I'm sure I taught others. And it's what? This is the church, this is the steeple, open it up and there's all the people, right? Well, that's actually theologically incorrect. The correct way of saying it would be, here's the church. Because the church is the people, and they're in a building that has a steeple, but the church is not the building. The church is certainly not the steeple. The church is the people, so that whatever happens to the building, as long as there's a people who trust and follow Jesus, the church is there. And there are local churches, local bodies, local communities of faith, but there is a large universal church made up of everyone of all time who trusts and follows Jesus. So the church is the people. And the Bible uses several metaphors to describe the church and to help us understand the church. The church is called the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. One of the metaphors that the church is described as in Scripture is that the church is the bride of Christ. And that's why when we come to the church's one foundation, we have lyrics that are almost romantic that Christ loved the church in a way that a husband would love a wife. And that's biblical. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27 tell us that the purpose of marriage, really, is to put on display the relationship that is between Christ and the church. And specifically, husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And how does he do that? Well, look with me at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, and he says this, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." So not only is this verse instructive as to how husbands ought to love their wives in a self-sacrificial way, but it's descriptive of the way in which Jesus has loved us, we who are His church, and we who are the bride of Christ. Have you noticed that in the end of the book of Revelation, what's going to happen when everything is finally consummated is the great wedding banquet, the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And blessed are all who are invited to the great wedding feast of the Lamb. Well, if you are in Christ, you are a part of the church, and the church is the bride of Christ. And that's what this song is celebrating. This song was written by the Reverend Samuel John Stone, and it was published originally in 1866. And the reasoning for the song was that Reverend Stone noticed that many people were using the Apostles' Creed in their personal devotions, and he wanted to make sure they understood what they were saying. Obviously, the Apostles' Creed is a distillation, a summarization of the Christian faith, of the major theological points of the faith. And so Stone actually wrote 12 different hymns known as Lyra Fidelium in 1866. And the church's one foundation was hymn number 9. And it was to teach us more about that particular portion of the Apostles' Creed that talks about the church and the communion of the saints, and just how very rich is the communion of the saints, those who trust and follow Jesus. And so this song reminds us that the church is built upon one singular foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. And Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected went to so many great lengths to get to us. He loved us with a love that compelled him to lay down his life for us. And so that's what Reverend Stone is celebrating in this great hymn. Now, we sing it a little different. Most of the time, when we sing the church's one foundation, we sing either 3 or 4 stanzas. There are actually 7 stanzas to the song. And I just want to read these to you and expose these to you because they're so rich in lyrical content. And I believe that every one of these stanzas will be a blessing to us. And I believe that it will also help us better understand the great love that Jesus has for His church. So let's look at Reverend Stone's lyrics. This is The Church's One Foundation by Samuel Stone. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. She is from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Now, you probably don't know this next verse. The church shall never perish, her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish is with her to the end. Though there be those who hate her and false sons in her pale, against both foe or traitor, she ever shall prevail. And of course, you remember when Jesus was talking to Peter, and Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And that's exactly what Reverend Stone is saying here. Though with a scornful wonder men see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping. Their cry goes up, "How long?" And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. And now back to a verse you might remember. "Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with that vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest." In other words, Samuel Stone says, we are looking for the return of Christ, and we are looking for the return of Christ with longing, recognizing that until Christ returns, our job is to help others trust and follow Jesus. We are to be disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus. But when Christ returns, there will be no more disciples to be made. For all who are in Christ and gathered together in Christ will be disciples of Christ. And so we look forward to that rest when Jesus returns. "Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won, with all her sons and daughters who by the Master's hand, led through the deathly waters, repose in Eden land." And so remember, the church is not just the people who are here and now who trusted, followed Jesus, but it is the people who throughout the ages have trusted and followed Jesus. One of the things we talk about when we celebrate the Lord's Supper often is that the Lord's Supper helps us remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We proclaim His death until He comes. But it also helps us to look forward to that great wedding feast of the Lamb, where we will sup with our Lord in glory. And not only we, but all who have loved His appearing. And so that there are those in heaven now who have gone before us, who are in the very presence of our Lord. They're part of the church too. And one day we shall all be together. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with Thee. There past the border mountains, where in sweet vales the bride, with Thee by living fountains, forever shall abide. And once again, we look forward to what theologians call the palingenesia, when Christ returns, and there is a new heavens and a new earth, and all is consummated, and all is well, and there is nothing but sinless peace and joy in the presence of our Savior and our God. That's coming for those who trust and follow Jesus. Those who trust and follow Jesus are the church. We are the bride of Christ, and He so loved us that He gave Himself for us. And He loved us with an everlasting love that can never be taken away. So the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, and may we never forget that we are built upon our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we're so thankful for Your great love for us, and we are pleased to be numbered among Your bride, and we are pleased to be built upon You, our foundation, the chief cornerstone. We are pleased to be Your new creation. And we are humbled that from heaven You came and sought us that we might belong to You, and that You paid for us with Your blood, and that we might live, You died. So, Lord, we are so thankful. And we join with our brothers and sisters all over the world and brothers and sisters throughout all of time in saying, You, O Lord, are worthy. And we pray that You would help us to be faithful in inviting others to come to You and by Your grace to be a part of Your universal church that will one day dwell with You in glory forevermore. We ask Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.